This church. Yes, this church. I remember when I was a kid, there was this one pastor who I always liked because he started his sermon with a joke. So I thought, starting with a joke. And then, honestly, the last two of them, I forgot all about that. So I found a joke. A priest, a minister, and a rabbi, they went to, who's best at their job, okay? So priest, minister, rabbi, all right? They decided, they said, look, we'll go down into the woods, find a bear, we'll minister to him, and we'll see who converts the bear first. So later together, priest begins. He says, when I found the bear, he says, I read to him the catechism, I sprinkled him with holy water, and next week is his first communion. Impressive. So the minister, well, said, look, I found the bear right next to the creek. He said, I mesmerized him so much with my message from the gospel, from the Bible, that he allowed me to baptize him right there. Impressive. So they looked at the rabbi. And of course, the rabbi, he's sitting there in a wheelchair covered from head to toe bandages. The rabbi says, looking back, I'm thinking I shouldn't have started with the circumcision. Okay. So today we're reading from Luke chapter 7, verse 36-50. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation to start it out with. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from the city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume, and she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. She then kissing his feet and put she then kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee, who invited him, saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman was touching him. He's a sinner. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay him. So kindly, he forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more than that? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. He came to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered home, she offered me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. She didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglect the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, are forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. The men at the table said to themselves, who is this man that goes around forgiving sins? Oh, sorry, got that messed up. And then he said, just saved you. Go in peace. So, for first timers who are just starting into the series, this we've been examining Jesus and who he was as he walked the earth. One of the verses that came to my mind when I started preparing for this was Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And it says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And that part there that just says that he is the exact representation of his being. So as we read the Gospels, and just a quick little, Gospels are the four, I already know this, Matthew, Mark, and John, and they're called the synopsis Gospels. So they look at Jesus to death from four different points of view. And so what you find from that is, if you, like myself, at a couple points in my life, actually many points in my life, don't know how to deal with certain people, certain sins, certain situations that come up. The Gospels, if we could read those and read how Jesus did, it'd be just as if God himself were dealing with us, because Jesus was God in flesh. And so I highly recommend that when you come to those places, you look at those books of the Bible. So this specific story in the Luke shows up in all four of the Gospels. Now, there are actually less than 25 scriptures in the Gospels that carry over into each book and to any detail, and this is one of them. So as I was reading this, I'm thinking, well, this is probably something that God really wanted to drive home, this specific story. So let's go ahead and read, and I'll be reading out of the New American Standard for this part. So now one of the Pharisees was requesting with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a moral woman. And when she learned he was at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial full of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, began to wet his feet with her tears, kept wiping them with her hair, the hair head, and kissing his feet and anointing them with perfume. So if I talk about the table, the tables in that would be something like this. Or you would sit on the ground, and often you would sit on your knees, which would explain how she was able to come up behind him while he was at the table, wet his feet and clean his feet, anoint them. The table was also a place of relationship. You generally didn't eat people in that day that you weren't in some type of relationship with. It was a place of social intimacy. And so we're not exactly sure what the relationship between Jesus and Simon the Pharisee was, but apparently Jesus agreed to go to his house and eat. Now, women were not really at the table with men when they ate. And so for this woman to come to the table with these men around it and do what she did with Jesus' feet, what she was really risking humiliation, to mention of that perfume that was probably part of her dowry, which could have been worth up to a year's wage. So just a lot of humiliation and ridicule when she did that. Okay, so let's continue. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him to this saw the woman do what she did, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who the person this woman is who is touching him, and that she is an immoral woman. Now, Simon didn't understand, even by that first statement where he says, if this man were a prophet, Simon was discounting the chance that he was a prophet. And Jesus didn't send the woman away, which is another reason he was discounting that he was a prophet. He was thinking that, well, if he knew about this woman, which they all did, then he would have said he were a prophet. But what he didn't realize, that is not who he was. So he didn't understand this. And if he had, in the scriptures, they did know the scriptures, he should have known them well. In Isaiah 4:2, it foretold of Jesus. And it said, behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, bring forth justice to the nations and the Gentiles. He now or raise his voice, nor make voice heard in the street. This a bruised reed he will not break, a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will bring forth justice. And this woman was that bruised reed. She was that burning wick. Obviously, her life had been hard, and she had probably had a lot of emotional issues in life to live the life that she was living. And everyone knew about it, so it wasn't, she wasn't even keeping it a secret. But he treated her like that bruised reed, and yeah, he could have saved face, he could have, you know, maybe do this later and kind of shoot her out the door. But he didn't, because that is not the Messiah was, because that is not who God is. So continuing on. And Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he played it, teacher. A money lender had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50 denarii. Now, do you an idea how that is would be in our economy? 500 denarii would be about $86,000, and 50 denarii would be $600. So he was understanding the extreme difference here in what he was trying to explain to him. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. Now, I think Simon knew what was going on here. Suppose, I mean, it was almost like to our kids, and we were reprimanding them because they whacked their sister and they had a bat or something. And we say to them, now, you should have done that? And they say, I guess not. I guess not, really? I guess not. Like, that's the answer you were looking for. You're looking for something more positive from him. And Simon wasn't stupid. He knew what Jesus was getting at. So he said to him, Jesus said to Simon, you have judged correctly. Okay, way more patience than I have. I would have been probably at that point very sarcastic and said, ding, 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 give them up. But that wasn't Jesus, and that's how he handled people. Turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? Okay, so now, in case everyone in the room, sitting at the table, didn't get the picture from the first thing he said to them. He says, I entered your house, and you gave no water for my feet. She has wet my feet with her tears and wiped with her. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. She loved much, but who is forgiven little, loves little. Then he said to her, sins have been forgiven. Those reclining at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? And she addresses that comment, and he says to them, or he says to her, your faith has saved you. So imagine these Pharisees and Simon, they're all sitting there in their minds. They've judged this woman. They know all about her. They can't figure out why he just is still allowing her to sit there and wash his feet. And in their minds, they've condemned her. They probably would just as soon drag her at that moment and stone her and then come back in and talk with Jesus. But that would probably be their preference. So Jesus says, your faith is saved you. What a slam in their faces. What a slam to their theology in their religious hearts. Because they didn't get that. They didn't understand it's the faith that saved them. It was all the outside to them. It was all what they looked like. And so for him to say, faith has saved you, go in peace, was a slam to them. But what a hope for the rest of us. Because nothing else can save us except faith. So I want to change directions slightly. And I noted some things about the people at the table, mainly Pharisee, Jesus, and the sinful woman. And I want to read it to you. Pharisee would be skeptical. He had a form of godliness, but denied the power of. He was judgmental, not understanding who God was or the Messiah was to be. Then you have Jesus, wanting to open the eyes of the blind, both the spiritually and the physically blind. He wanted to make his unconditional love known to all, and he wanted to correct the perception that the religious people of that day had portrayed on God. He wanted to correct that. You have the sinful woman. She was lost. She was hurting. She wanted emotional healing. She was hoping for the Messiah, probably hoping that this was him, and worshiping him at his feet because of his love and grace. And they're thinking, who's invited now? Who's invited now to that table? And in Luke 19, verse 10, it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So who's invited now? That which was lost. And I don't know about you, but I was lost at one point. And probably everyone in here is in one state or the other. They're either lost or they were lost. And so I'm invited, you're invited. And I started thinking about the two people at the table, not Jesus, the other two. And I started remembering that it was both those people at one time. At age 14, my mom raising my brother and I, and she was taking us to church every week and doing the best she could to raise us in God. And my brother, at that point, he had already kind of walked away, didn't want anything to do with the church, and started living his life the way he wanted. And at 14, I followed right in his footsteps. Head first into just whatever sin was out there, and girls, and pornography, you name it, I was head first into it. And that went on for quite a while. I got involved into a relationship with a girl, and actually got engaged with her. She wasn't a Christian. I knew the relationship was wrong. I knew it in my heart. And yet I went on. Thank God that he saved me from that. And at one point, this relationship was just so emotionally drained. I was actually on my knees standing Dairy Frozen aisle at Tops. BJ, you remember that? God, I'm done with this. I'm done controlling my own life. I gave it to him. And so that was the beginning of a journey back to him. And probably a year later, I was out of this relationship Even though from the moment that I gave my life back to God, he was telling me to get out of it. But it took a year. I got out of it and things better. Then I started going to a church that tended to be legalistic. And I wouldn't say it was the most legalistic church that I've ever been, but my nature and my personality just clung to that. And I was a very argumentative person. And so I took right to that, you know, like water to a fish or to water. I mean, it was just like, and of course, you know, myself looked really good on the outside. And I knew I just had as much sin as anybody else there. But judgmental, oh man, was I judgmental. Argumentative, yes. I was the whole thing. I was that Pharisee. And I would be really quick to jump on someone when I saw fall or stumble or if they weren't doing things the way that I knew it should be done or I thought it should be done. And thank God, he brought me to a church that he was able to kind of pull me out of that. And part of that was, as I mentioned earlier, was reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And God just kept getting me back there. And I try to read other books of the Bible. And I would just be like, the Holy Spirit was just directing me back to Matthew. And I don't know how many times I read those four books, but I read them enough. And I read them to the point where I started to see God me, look, you're not treating your fellow man, your Christians, non-believers, you're not treating like Jesus treated people. It was all there in black and white. And the Holy Spirit just in my heart and just showed me the error of my way. And thank you, Jesus. He brought me out of that mentality. And as I was getting ready for this message, and obviously also learning the songs for this Sunday, one of the songs, I just happened to be listening to it, and I caught it. And I'd forgotten about this. It's the old hymnal, Come Thou Fount. And just a couple of verses so spoke to me and just broke me and reminded me of where I came from and what God had brought me through. And I just want to read for you this portion. It says, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his blood. His kindness yet pursues me. Mortal tongue can never tell. Clothed in flesh, till death shall loose me, I cannot proclaim it well. To grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like fetter, bind my wandering heart. Prone to wander, Lord, feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take, seal it. Seal it for thy love. And that first verse just hit me. It was, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, and that was me. I didn't just wander from the fold of God. I mean, I ran from the fold of God. And during that time, I can look back and I can tell you, I know there's a lot of ministers and Christians that may argue this with me, but when I walked away from God, God had his hand on me, protected me. I can look back and tell you this, where God protected my life during that time. And he very lovingly drew me back to himself. And then it says, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. How kindness yet pursues me. And all through that time, when I came to the time I kneeled my knees down in that at stacking shelves and I gave my life. And from that time, he continued, his kindness pursued me, continued. Even in that legal where I was judging people. I was telling people, just in my mind, literally saying, you're going to hell. Change your, you do this or that, you're bad. His kind pursued me even during that time. He never gave up on me. He never said, I just can't deal with you anymore. He continually brought me back. And I thank him for that. We're going to take communion today, and we're going to do a little slightly different than usual, which kind of become our custom. And if the ushers can go ahead and start passing out the elements, I'm going to ask you to hold on to the image when you get them. I've found a song, and as you listen to the song, and the lyrics are going to be up on the screen. It actually seemed like I made my message around that song, but I did. It was just I actually had most of the message written, and I just kind of placed that in my lap. That's God. I mean, he's like that. But what an incredible song. So I would just ask that as the song plays, the lyrics are up there. take some time and play where you're at, where you're at right now with Jesus. Some of you might be close and talking with him every day, and he's just a major part of your life. Some of you, you may feel you're miles away. You're coming to church every week, or maybe this is your first long time, but you just feel a million miles away from him. He's at that table. He's asking you to come to the table with him, every one of us, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done or what's been done to you. He's calling you to the table. So just ask that in this song, just some time you and God, and just seek him, worship him. Go ahead, the song, please.
We all start on the outside, not looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give. Oh, the shape that we were in. Just when hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, come to the table, come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. Come meet this motley crew, his fist, these liars and these thieves. There's no one unwelcome here. So that sin and shame that you brought with you, you can leave it at the door. Let me draw you near. Come to the table. Come join the sinner. To the young and to the older, all the last and all the first, all paupers and the princes, all who fail, all who dream and all who suffer, all who loved and lost and burned, all the chained and free, all who follow, all who love.